أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ بَدَّلُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا وَأَحَلُّوا قَوْمَهُمْ دَارَ الْبَوَارِ. Have you not considered those who exchanged the favor of Allah for disbelief and settled their people in the home of ruin? It is hell which they will enter to burn, and wretched is the settlement. And they have attributed to Allah equals to mislead people from His way. Say, enjoy yourselves, for indeed your destination is the fire. O Prophet, tell my servants who have believed to establish prayer and spend from what we have provided them secretly and publicly before a day comes in which there will be no exchange nor any friendships. Here I remind myself and you of the importance of perfecting our prayers, guarding our prayers, and also giving in charity. And this is the month of Ramadan, in which we especially pay attention to these two acts of worship. Prayer, especially in the night time, and also charity. The Prophet ﷺ frequently gave sadaqah in the month of Ramadan. So much so that he was described as faster than a fast wind. Fast wind, how it blows. But the Prophet ﷺ, he gave sadaqah more quickly. More quickly than the fast wind, than the speedy wind. So we also need to think about this. That in this month, let us inshaAllah develop the habit of performing salah firstly on time, then properly with the sunan and with khushur inshaAllah. And also, let's focus on giving sadaqah also. Why? Because Allah says there is a day that is coming in which there will be no exchange and no friendship will avail either. It is Allah who created the heavens and the earth and sent down rain from the sky and produced thereby some fruits as provision for you, and subjected for you the ships to sail through the sea by His command, and subjected for you the rivers. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ دَائِبَيْنِ. And He subjected for you the sun and the moon continuous. Meaning the sun and the moon, continuously they are in orbit without even one day break. And what do we want? That, come on, let's get one day off. Right? Why is it 30 days in a row? Well, look at the sun and the moon. Since the time they were created, they have been in orbit without a moment's rest. Without a moment's rest. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. And He has subjected for you the night and the day. وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. And He gave you from all that you asked of Him. Everything that you need, He has given that to you. He has given you everything you need over here. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You think you don't have enough? Well, if you should count the favors of Allah on you, the blessings that He has given to you to enjoy, if you started counting them, you could never enumerate them. Indeed, mankind is generally most unjust and ungrateful. The fact is that even if we spend our entire lives in prostration to Allah, thanking Him for the very fact that He created us, thanking Him for the very blessing of our bodies, of air, it wouldn't be sufficient, it wouldn't be enough. So, what does this teach us? That no matter what we're going through, let's be grateful. Because even though there are difficulties and hardships, still the favors of Allah are innumerable. They are uncountable. If we just start listing the good things that are happening, the positive things that are happening in our bodies even, right, for our bodies to function properly, the things that are working right, that are functioning properly, we could not enlist them. What happens to people who, when their eyes or their nose or some part of their body just gets slightly disturbed, they end up in the hospital. They end up going through one test after another and the doctors cannot figure out. And then eventually, even when they do figure out, they cannot do anything about it. So alhamdulillah, Allah has kept us fine. Allah has kept us safe. So no matter what, be grateful. Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. And mention when Ibrahim said, O my Lord, make this city, which city? The city of Makkah. Make it secure and keep me and my sons away from worshipping idols. This is the grateful servant of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who? The one whom his father said that if you don't go, I will kill you. He was the one who, when he called people to the worship of Allah alone, he was thrown in the fire. He is the one who, when he did hijrah for the sake of Allah, he went to Egypt. What happened? The king took his wife. And he is the one who is the beloved of Allah, the close friend of Allah, yet his dua that, "Oh Allah, I want children," his dua is not answered for many, many years. But look at this servant of Allah, grateful servant. Never once is he found complaining, angry with Allah. No, patient and grateful. And over here, he says that, "Oh Allah, protect me and my children from the worship of the idols." What is Ibrahim a.s. asking for his children? What are the du'as for his children? That, "Oh Allah, protect them from idolatry." He is concerned about their spiritual well-being. What do we ask Allah for when we're making du'a for our children? Whether they are here or they will come later, inshallah. What do we ask for? Is it just healthy, beautiful, successful, intelligent, bright, smart kids? Or is there something more than that that we should ask Allah for? Ibrahim a.s. is most concerned about the spiritual well-being of his children. That, "Oh Allah, keep them safe from idolatry." Have we ever made this dua for our children? If we haven't, let's make it. That, "Oh Allah, protect me and my children from shirk." Because shirk is a sin. Associating partners with Allah is a sin which makes Jannah haram on a person. He cannot enter paradise if he has committed shirk. And this is the most dangerous, the most destructive sin. The most destructive sin. And Ibrahim a.s., where was he right now? From his dua, it seems like he was in Makkah. Because he's praying that Makkah be made a safe city. Makkah, remember, there was no idolatry at the time when Ibrahim a.s. went there. There was nobody there at all. It was just him. When he went initially, it was just him, Hajar, and their son, Ismail. That's it. And then eventually, later on also, when Ibrahim a.s. returned, there were just a few people from the tribe of Dirham. That's it. There was no sign of idolatry. But Ibrahim a.s. had seen idolatry. He had seen how dangerous it is, how deceptive it is, how quietly and gradually it comes, and it traps people, blinding them. It turns them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he makes dua, "Oh Allah, protect my children from shirk." He says, "Oh my Lord, indeed they have led astray many among the people. So whoever follows me, then he is of me. And whoever disobeys me, indeed you are yet forgiving and merciful. Our Lord, I have settled some of my descendants in an uncultivated valley, Makkah, which is uncultivated, nothing grows there, near your sacred house." There's nothing great of this world in Makkah. But the only thing that's there is your sacred house, our Lord. Why have I made them live here? So that they may establish prayer. The first concern of Ibrahim a.s. for his children is their aqidah, their belief. Then he is most concerned about their amal salih, about their righteous actions. And out of all righteous actions, the most important is which one? Salah. Remember, if a person is observing salah, he is performing his salah properly, that is a sign that yes, inshallah, this person is guided. And if a person leaves his salah, abandons his salah, that is a big, big warning sign. That is a big warning sign. We don't take this seriously. We think, "Oh, it's okay. At least they fast sometimes in the month of Ramadan. Or at least they're good in their manners." No, if a person does not pray salah, that is a big warning sign. Because salah is the pillar of faith. Pillar of faith. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. It is salah that prohibits people from, that stops people, that prevents them from evil, from sinning. And once a person abandons the prayer, then remember he will abandon many more good deeds. You see, it starts gradually. First a person says, "Oh, I'm not going to pray. I can't bother to pray. I don't enjoy it." He leaves prayer. Then what happens? When the month of Ramadan comes, he says, "Oh, well, if I don't pray, why should I fast? Why should I fast?" And when there's an opportunity to go to the house of Allah, a person thinks, "Well, I don't fast, and I don't even pray. Why should I bother going for Hajj?" So you see how one leads to the other? The collapse of one pillar will lead to the collapse of the rest of the pillars also, ultimately bringing down the structure of faith, the structure of Islam. So Ibrahim a.s. is making dua that, "Oh Allah, I have brought my children here لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. So make hearts among the people inclined toward them." Now he's concerned about their emotional needs. That how can they survive alone here? They need people around them and provide them from the fruits. Now he's concerned about their physical needs also, that they might be grateful. And this is the correct order of all of these needs. First and foremost, spiritual well-being. Then emotional, and then physical. Generally what happens? It's the other way around. When children are born, or before even they're born, what is the concern of the parents? Physical needs. When we wake up in the morning, what is our concern? Physical needs. Then we think about emotional needs, right? Checking our phone immediately. Has someone texted me? Right? What emails do I have today? Emotional needs. The need to reconnect with people. And then we think about, oh, let me pray. Right? Then we think about spiritual needs. Whereas the order is the exact opposite. It's the reverse. Because the thing is that when a person is spiritually satisfied, then what will happen? Even if he's suffering physically, he will survive. When a person is emotionally stable, again, if he is deprived physically, he will survive. Has it not happened with you that you're sitting with your friends and you've met them after a long time and there's food in front of you and the food is getting cold, but you don't eat? Why? Because you're enjoying talking to your friends. Right? So you see how the emotional satisfaction, it made you free of physical satisfaction. It doesn't mean that physical needs are unnecessary. No, they are necessary also. But what is it that needs to be prioritized? First spiritual, then emotional, and then physical. And the thing is that when it comes to physical needs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. In hadith we learn that where the son of Adam run from his provision, the way he runs from death, the way he avoids death, his provision would still reach him. Just as death will reach a person, likewise our physical needs, they will be met with, no matter how much we try to avoid them. Hasn't it ever happened with you that you tell yourself, you know what, I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm not going to sleep tonight. Sahur is just 2 hours away, I'm not going to sleep tonight. What happens? You fall asleep sitting at the table. Isn't it? It happens with me all the time. It happened with me the other day. I'm like, you know what, there's only 2 hours, let me study. And I sit with my computer studying, and the next thing I know, my head is on the table, and it's 2:30 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, there's only half an hour left. Okay, let me try again. Started studying again. Again, I fell asleep. Alhamdulillah, I got my sahur. Alhamdulillah. But it happens, right? That physical needs, even when you try to avoid them, they will come to you. They will certainly be fulfilled. But spiritual needs, you have to strive to fulfill them yourself. You have to do something. And you know what? When you're spiritually satisfied, then you're emotionally content also. Like for example, the moment you start having khushu' in your prayer, you're performing your prayer and you're really in it, you lose sense of time. You do. You forget about your fatigue. When you're standing in taraweeh and you're listening to the imam, reciting the Qur'an and you're enjoying that recitation because you're understanding it, you can actually reflect on it, then what happens? You don't even know your feet are hurting until you go into ruku'. Why? Because that spiritual satisfaction made you free of need of physical satisfaction. But we see that all these three are necessary. But the correct order is that which we see in the du'as of Ibrahim alayhis salam. He said, "Our Lord, indeed you know what we conceal and what we declare, and nothing is hidden from Allah on the earth or in the heaven. Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahaba li 'ala al-kibri Isma'il wa Ishaq. Inna rabbi lasami'u ad-du'a. Praise to Allah who has granted to me in old age Isma'il and Ishaq. Indeed my Lord is the hearer of supplication." Look at these amazing words of gratitude that are coming from Ibrahim a.s. He says, "My Lord hears the dua." Allah hears the dua, even though the response may be delayed. But Allah hears dua. What happens is that we expect that if we have made a dua, instantly it should be answered. Within the next moment it should be answered. But Allah hears the dua. How? That either He gives us what we want, whenever He wants, which means He could give you now, or He could give you 10 years later, or 20 years later, or He doesn't give it to us at all, and instead He gives us something else. He stores the reward for the hereafter. And for now, we want something, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something else in its place. Ibrahim alayhis salam, remember, he was around 100 years old when Ishaq was born. And just a little while before that, Ismail alayhi salam was born. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was not an ordinary man. Who was he? Khalil of Allah. Can you imagine? You know, even if there's a human friend, okay? Human friend. You ask your human friend for something. And they're like, okay, sure. You ask them again, they say, okay, sure. And you don't get it. 1 day goes by, 2 days go by. What will you say? This person is my friend? Will you consider them to be your friend? No. And if 1 year goes by, then what will happen? You won't even bother to talk to them again. Ibrahim alayhi salam is given the title of Khalil of Allah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam wants a child. But what happens? He does not have a child. Allah does not give it to him until Ibrahim is 100 years old. Then it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him what he wants. The question is, could Allah not give him Ismail, Ishaq, and more sons even before Ibrahim alayhi salam was 100? Could Allah not have done that? He could have. You see, we get easily deceived by this life. We think having children is a goal. Being happy in this life is a goal. Having money, having a husband is a goal. When I have this, I'll be happy. And we're using dua to get to that goal. Whereas it's the exact opposite. Servitude to Allah, that is the goal. And how do we get there? By asking Allah for what we need. Not just once, but many times. Again and again and again. Allah could have given Ibrahim a.s. 50 sons. Allah could have, easily. It wasn't difficult for Allah. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he is constantly making dua, what is he doing? He's showing servitude to Allah. So never ever get upset when your duas are not answered. Be hopeful. Maybe Allah has stored that khair that you want now for later. You think it's good for you now, but Allah knows that it's good for you later. And we see the sabr of Ibrahim alayhi salam. There's no complaint over here. He's saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi wahab li ala al-kibri Ismail wa Ishaq. If we were in his position, what would we say? You know what? I almost gave up. Actually, I did give up. Finally I get it. Right? We get angry because we think that we deserve these good things. Whereas the fact is that we are Allah's servants. And we see in the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, there is no despair. He's only hopeful. And this is the etiquette of making dua. Praising, thanking Allah. And this can only be when a person is patient and grateful in his life. Patient over what he's not had yet, and grateful over what he has received. And both go hand in hand. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءَ. Oh my Lord, make me an establisher of prayer. Oh Allah, give me the ability to establish prayer. Me and also my children. That we perform salah properly and we also help others perform salah properly. رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءَ. And oh our Lord, accept my supplication. Accept the dua that we are making here. You see, Ibrahim alayhi salam, again, his concern for salah is coming up. Why? Because the first question on the Day of Judgment will be about salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the first matter the servant will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment is prayer. If it is good, then all the rest of his actions will be good. And if it is corrupted, then all of his actions will also be corrupted. Meaning then he's going to fail the test. And also we see that the first lesson that we need to teach our children is of what? Tawheed and then salah. The Prophet ﷺ said, that command your children to pray when they become 7 years old. From 7, salah is necessary. And this is why we see, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Our Lord, forgive me and my parents and the believers on the day that the account is established. So much khair in this servant of Allah. He is truly the perfect example of the believer. Like a date palm tree. Beneficial for everybody. Look at his du'as. He's hardly asking anything for himself. He's asking for who? For humanity. Whether it is his children, descendants, or the people who visit the Kaaba, or All of the believers, He's making dua for them. He makes dua for all the believers, that, oh Allah, forgive them. He is truly shajaratan tayyiba. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ And never think that Allah is unaware of what the wrongdoers do. He only delays them for a day when eyes will stare in horror. Racing ahead, their heads raised up, their glance does not come back to them, and their hearts are void. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, warn the people of a day when the punishment will come to them, and those who did wrong will say, Our Lord, delay us for a short term, we will answer your call and follow the messengers. But it will be said, Had you not sworn before that for you there will be no cessation? You thought you will suffer no decline? What deception were you living in? And you lived among the dwellings of those who wronged themselves, and it had become clear to you how we dealt with them, and we presented for you many examples, but you took no heed. And they had planned their plan, but with Allah is recorded their plan, even if their plan had been sufficient to do away with the mountains. فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعْدِهِ رُسُولَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ So never think that Allah will fail in His promise to His messengers. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and owner of retribution. It will be on the day the earth will be replaced by another earth and the heavens as well. This earth will no longer remain as it is today. It will be changed. And the sky also will no longer appear to be as it is today. It will be changed. The color will change. The appearance will change. And all creatures will come out before Allah. Al-Wahid al-Qahhar. The One, the Prevailing. Meaning none will be able to hide their face that day. Everyone will come before Allah. In a hadith we learn that someone asked the Prophet ﷺ that on the day when the sky and the earth will be changed, then where will the people be? Where will we be? The Prophet ﷺ said, they will be in darkness beside the bridge, the sirat. And where is the sirat? It is situated over the hellfire, which every single person has to cross. And so where will people be? In darkness before the bridge. So whenever you are in the darkness of the night, remember that time when the earth, the sky will change, and we need to think, what am I going to do so that I can have light at the time when there will be darkness? The Prophet ﷺ said that those who go out in darkness to the masajid, for them there will be light on the Day of Judgment. This hadith is in Bukhari. وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ And you will see the criminals that day bound together in shackles. Why? Because they imprisoned believers. They tortured the believers. And so, they will receive the same on the Day of Judgment. Their garments will be of liquid pitch, which is highly flammable. And their faces covered by the fire. This is what they'll be punished with. Faces will be covered by the fire. Meaning the fire will reach up to their faces. The Prophet ﷺ said, amongst those in the fire will be some who along with other punishments will be in the fire ankle deep. Others knee deep. Others nose deep. Some chest deep. And some fully immersed in the fire. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ And why is it that some will have fire up to their knees, up to their chest, up to their nose? Why? According to the sins that they have committed. The more a person drowns in sin today, the more he will drown in the fire in the hereafter. So that Allah will recompense every soul for what it earned. Indeed, Allah is swift in account. هَذَا بَلَاغٌ لِلنَّاسِ This Qur'an is notification for the people. This Qur'an, this message is for all people. Qur'an is for all. Why? That they may be warned thereby. Warned of the outcome they could possibly have for eternity. And that they may know that He is but one God, and that those of understanding will be reminded. Meaning those who are intelligent here, we should be concerned about their akhirah there. So remind them. Remind them through this Qur'an so that they may wake up. Delivering this message of Tawheed is a responsibility. On who? On every single one of us. So any person around us who is in shirk, any person who is around us who is unaware of Allah, even though they may say they believe in Allah, but they don't know who Allah is, what is our duty? That we introduce them to Allah Azza wa Jal, so that they are good here and also good in the hereafter. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.